Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. Joining us now is John Donohue, a professor of law at Stanford Law School and a research associate at the National Bureau of Economic Research. He has written numerous publications on gun control policy and is the author of Shooting Down the More Guns, Less Crime Hypothesis. Welcome to Background Briefing, John Donohue.
Good to be with you.
And it looks as though, it looked like from the beginning that the shooting at LAX, that the shooter had an issue with mental illness. The chairman of the House Homeland Security Committee said as much on Sunday. I was watching the news after it happened, and the first head of Homeland Security, the former governor of Pennsylvania, Tom Ridge, came on and was obviously very upset and basically said, look, we as a nation are going to have to start thinking about the root causes of this, because this is going to happen time and time again. And we keep seeing these incidents and nothing is done about them. And while he was not specific, I assume that what he was talking about was the intersection between mental illness and the easy access to assault weapons in this country. And I guess if that's what indeed he was referring to, and I'm pretty sure that's what he was, it sort of brings you back to the NRA, doesn't it?
Yes, it's obviously something that the country has been kicking down the road rather than addressing. And I think it is important to start focusing on how these things happen and what we as a society will do to sort of address the problem, as opposed to just pretending it's not a real problem.
But in terms of the killing of a TSA officer, as this young fellow did, who was obviously influenced by, you know, some ridiculous conspiracy theories propagated by the Alex Joneses of the world, that somehow the TSA people are a part of some government conspiracy. What I find extraordinarily ironic about it, given that we willingly take our shoes off at airports and go through this screening because of a fear of terrorism, and we accept that ritual at airports, even though the threat of terrorism barely exists, and yet we as a nation can't handle the idea of placing any restrictions on guns, which kill thousands times more Americans every year than terrorists could ever do.
Yes, it's an anomaly that we are willing to take some great measures to reduce small risks and are not willing to take small measures to reduce great risks. But I do think that there is the will among the people to address some of these, and what's required is something to initiate action on the part of the legislators, who have unfortunately been very strongly influenced by NRA pressures.
Well, just to be specific about the statistics, John Donohue, in 2012, 15 Americans were killed in terrorist attacks. In the previous year, 32,000 Americans died from gun violence. So there you have the stark contrast. As a law professor, what is your understanding of impediments in terms of having better reporting on mental illness? Because the same gun that was used at Los Angeles Airport was the same gun that was used at Aurora, and the Aurora shooter had to plead insanity. What came out of that was an indication that the authorities at the college, he wasn't adequately treated there, and he also had problems with his parents, who in turn have problems reporting these things. I think the same is true of the Newtown killer as well. So how do you come up with a system where mentally ill people can be detected, assuming that you can get to the second part of it, which is preventing them from buying firearms, which is, of course, is what where the NRA is the main obstacle. But is there a way to have a system in this country that's fair to people and that doesn't take away their civil rights arbitrarily at the same time? Because it seems to me that the authorities at schools, and particularly parents at home, obviously reluctant to basically suggest that somebody is a danger to society.
Yes, it's a tough nut to crack, but we could do a lot better, and most other affluent countries do a lot better than the U.S. in this regard. I do think, if you look at some of the recent shootings, I think the Navy shipyard shooting in D.C. a short while ago was emblematic of this concern that there were a lot of people who knew that this gentleman had very serious mental illness problems, and yet nothing stood as an impediment to him purchasing very dangerous weaponry. And I think that we really need to move to a situation that as soon as significant evidence comes to the attention of relevant authorities, that information gets right into a database and blocks the ability to purchase guns. Of course, to make that really effective, one really needs to move to the universal background check system. And I just think that a lot of these problems could be tidied up if we moved in that direction. Now, of course, if you really wanted to get rid of them, you'd have to sort of follow the approach of Australia, which they took after a horrific mass shooting back in 1996, and they essentially banned all semi-automatic weapons, which did eliminate the mass shooting problem, which had been a significant one in Australia in the 16 years prior to the Port Arthur killings in 1996, and they've had zero mass shootings since they took these very aggressive gun control measures. Of course, we have legal impediments that are greater, and of course a very obstructionist gun lobby that prevents more dramatic action, but there are things that are very reasonable and mainstream and that have very widespread popular support, such as universal background checks and getting mental health information into the system immediately rather than wait until very serious criminal misconduct has occurred before any steps are taken to restrict access to guns.
And again, I'm speaking with John Donohue, who is a professor of law at Stanford Law School and research associate at the National Bureau of Economic Research. He has written numerous publications on gun control policy and is the author of Shooting Down the More Guns, Less Crime Hypothesis. So just to buttress what you were just saying about the Navy Yard shooter having a mental illness and demonstratively so, which a number of people had detected, yet he was able to buy these lethal weapons. There have been 62 mass shootings in the United States since 1982, and three-quarters of the shooters have used legally obtained weapons. So that's the problem, and obviously the impediment to this is the NRA and the other gun lobbies. Senator Dianne Feinstein on Sunday, in reference to the shooting at Los Angeles International Airport, said it underscores the need for an assault weapons ban, but she said the NRA has a hammerlock on the Congress. So we keep having this conversation, John. I mean, you know what I mean? I'm sure you've had it 1,000 times, haven't you?
Yeah, it is troubling, and it is going to require the people to stand up. I mean, I do think one way in which the NRA is clever is that they're able to turn out the votes in off-year elections and special elections and punish those who oppose them, because they will turn out a large number of voters when the general electorate is less likely to turn out. So it is sort of incumbent upon the citizenry, who overwhelmingly favor common sense measures like universal background checks, to really assert their political power. As of now, the NRA has done an effective job of sort of marshaling the support of their very strong group of advocates to turn out for elections, and that gives the NRA outsized power. The NRA is actually a very small organization. The National Association of Retired Folks in this country, you know, has 10 times as many members as the NRA. And so it shows you that if the AARP, you know, just marshaled their forces, they could dwarf any electoral power of the NRA. But, of course, the NRA also is spreading their money around to politicians, and that carries some weight as well. But there are things that can be done that there is already overwhelming public support for, and the people are going to have to stand up to the NRA if those measures are going to be implemented.
But had this shooter, when he marched up to the TSA screener and pulled out this assault weapon and shot him several times and then was looking for TSA people and he obviously was infected by this anti-government Alex Jones nonsense of these government agencies being somehow involved in totalitarian dark plans to take away our rights. But had he, for example, instead of saying TSA people are pigs or whatever his ridiculous delusion was, had he shouted Allah Akbar, we'd have more money pouring into the TSA, we'd have more anti-terrorism legislation passed and millions more would be appropriated for Homeland Security. That's the part of it that I find extraordinary. You know, it's an open checkbook as far as terrorism is concerned, but it's a closed book as far as gun control is concerned.
Yeah, it has been disappointing, and it looked like after the Newtown shooting that some reasonable steps would be taken, but what that experience showed is that you have to move quickly because the NRA is effective at marshaling their forces when the public sort of loses some of their interest. The one thing that we know will happen, though, is that we will continue on this pace of, you know, 4 or 5 serious mass shootings every year in the United States because the NRA has prevented reasonable steps to stop those. So the opportunity will come for the next one down the road before too long, because this is the nature of modern America. I should say that I agree with you that there has been very pernicious and dangerous anti-government rhetoric released by NRA forces and their sympathizers, which I think is to be condemned, because there are many marginal people and people with mental illness who hear that and unfortunately take it to heart. And, you know, this goes all the way back to Tim McVeigh, who was very much influenced by the extreme anti-government rhetoric and who then felt no remorse about killing 168 people at the Oklahoma City federal building because these were the tyrannical federal government agents. It is nonsense and dangerous to vilify people who are just trying to do their job as some sort of tyrannical force. Luckily, we live in a democracy, and if there are tyrannical figures, we're able to vote them out. And I wish the actions would be taken at the ballot box rather than in these insane ways that sometimes play out. But I do think the politicians who support that rhetoric should be called to task for essentially, if not encouraging, at least facilitating the misuse by people with mental illness concerns.
Well, I started out mentioning Tom Ridge, who sort of skirted around it. He was obviously upset, but he wasn't prepared to say what the real issues are. He said what you just said, that we're going to be seeing more of these incidents unless something is done. And so, you know, really, to my mind, it's people like the traditional Republicans, and not the Tea Party and the NRA types, but the more traditional Republicans like Tom Ridge, have really got to start laying it on the line and not mincing their words. I mean, if that's where the problem lies, and I imagine it's also true of the Democrats in rural counties as well, they're scared to death of the NRA.
Yeah, it's a serious concern that politicians have to contend with, and it really is going to require some concerted effort. Again, if the vast bulk of Americans who don't want to see these sorts of incidents were to exert their electoral muscle, they could crush the NRA. And it's really the fact that the American people loses interest fairly quickly while the NRA remains vigilant at the electoral level that allows them to have outsized influence on politicians. The politicians, while they are craven, they are responding to the incentives as they see them. And if the American public would stand up in a unified way, and overwhelmingly, the American public does not want these acts to occur, and realizes that reasonable steps can be made to curtail them or at least minimize the risk of these occurring, we could take steps that would be beneficial.
Well, John Donahue, I thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, nice to chat.
Again, I've been speaking with John Donahue, who is a professor of law at Stanford Law School and a research associate at the National Bureau of Economic Research. He has written numerous publications on gun control policy and is the author of Shooting Down the More Guns, Less Crime Hypothesis. We're going to take a brief station break and be back talking about the cruel and unusual cuts in food stamp assistance to over 47 million needy Americans.